Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We all know people who are simply impossible. Nothing you say can sway them from their self-focus, their tendency to blame everyone else, and their desire for control. Yes, narcissists need a great deal of the grace of God. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the power of a clear conscience. Today, we'll hear more of a message on becoming that impossible person.
I know that I'm throwing this in, we're giving you some extra stuff, but if you ever are in a divorce with a narcissist, and you say to yourself, well, you know, okay, I'll give her the house, I'll give her this, just so that we can have peace. What you'll discover is that that is not enough, because what she wants is to destroy you. She wants to destroy you. And you must understand that. That's why I was so interested in that word in 2 Timothy. Never saw it before this week. Unappeasable, unappeasable. And they begin to see the evil that is in them as belonging to you. So they lie, they manipulate, and they use their emotions to come up with truth. So they don't need facts. They know who's against them. They know their paranoia as to who it is that's after them. They know the evil that other people have done. What are your facts? I don't have any. I just know it. What interesting people they are. Well, you say, Pastor Lutzer, enough of that. What are we to do about it? Let me give you a prescription, and then we're going to turn to the scriptures, of course, which has the answer to human need. And as always, God is the one who has the answer. First of all, a couple of practical words. If you know anything about narcissism and you're living with a person like this, would you just take a deep breath and remember that they too have a story? They have a story. And you and I must have the patience to listen to their story. Probably abused, probably a sense of abandonment when they were young, probably maybe an alcoholic home. And so this self-protection, this godhood that we've spoken about begins to take over. And that may be the cause. Let us remember. And let us remember also that no matter how much evil they do, that there's more to them than simply the evil. They are human beings, and we need to minister to them and help them as such. But also, and I'm just being very practical here, having lived a little longer than some of you, though I wouldn't even begin to think about me being as old as one person I see back there. Don't have high expectations. If you have company over and they're happy, that is to say your spouse is happy and enjoying it, after the company leaves, they may suddenly and without reason turn into anger, control, criticism. And you say to yourself, who did I really marry? Was it this person we were just having fun with? Or is it the person who turned so violently angry after the company left? Because remember, a narcissist doesn't have to be good, that's for sure. But they certainly have to look good. They have to look good at all costs, but they don't have to be good. So lower your expectations. The other thing that I would suggest to you is that you need to be able to become a whole person in the midst of this. Paul says avoid people like this, but if you're married to them, that's pretty hard to do. So what you need to do is to find community. Find community within the church. Find small groups. Find those who can pray with you and for you so that God will grant you the grace. And when sinned against, do not sin in return. Let me say that again. When sinned against, do not sin in return. Now let me ask the question, can a narcissist change? Well, I believe they can because I believe in grace, and nobody should be considered to be beyond the bounds of God's saving grace. I think that there are moments of clarity narcissists have. I already told you that this summer I preached a version of this message, and the next evening a woman said, you know that my husband, I mean, obviously I wouldn't know, but she said, I want you to know that my husband is a narcissist. I said, was he in the service last night? She said, yes. In fact, she said, our kids were there too, and they were all looking at me as if to say, guess what? Look at who he's talking about over here. Now, she said her husband's a Bible teacher. Now, don't be surprised at that. There are many people, you see, who use the Bible in order to teach others truth, but they will not allow the truth of God to penetrate their own hearts. They're insulated from that. But they enjoy Bible study. They enjoy the public platform because then they can communicate and everybody can say, look at how much he knows. So it's very important to know that they may be in Christian ministry. Now she went on to say, she said, my husband criticizes every sermon he hears. Well, why wouldn't he? I mean, narcissists know better. I mean, they have insight that other people lack. Nothing can please them because their standards are so high, because after all, they are God, maybe with a small g, but you can understand. I said, well, that's interesting. I said, what did he say about the message that I preached last night? And she said that in her memory, she could never remember a time like last night when they drove all the way home and he did not have one word to say about my message. I thought, well, maybe there was a shaft of light and maybe he saw himself. I mean, we're talking here serious matters because narcissists don't see themselves. That's why everybody needs counseling. Everybody is wrong. Like the woman watching a parade, she says, everyone is out of step except my son. Right? Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalm 139. Here's an answer for a narcissist, and if it's an answer for a narcissist, it ought to do for you. I'm enjoying this message. I hope that you are too. I know how convicting it can be. I know how convicting. Psalm 139, David says this, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. It's a done deal. God knows everything, both actual and possible, about us. He says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. How many times did you sit down or get up yesterday? I have no idea. Couldn't count them. God knows the number, and he does not know yesterday better than he knew 50 years ago. Accurate knowledge. You understand my thoughts afar off. What he means is, before I think the thought, you know what I'm going to think. You see, he knows all of our thoughts. He knows those thoughts of how we deeply resent people who minimize us, how deeply we resent those people who are more successful than we at our own game. That somebody who is more beautiful, somebody who's more gifted, God sees those thoughts too. And God sees it when we hypocritically come to church and pretend that we love people and glad hand people because we want to be thought of as loving, when in our hearts we're despising them. God sees all of those thoughts. Wow. He sees the things that we watch on our computer that we erase. He sees all of these things. They are entirely present to him. He says, there isn't a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, I know it altogether. Before I stand up to speak, before the words are formed and I actually say them, you already know them. Imagine that. And not only do you know them, but you know all the words that I wish I could speak, but because of various reasons, I don't speak them publicly, but they're spoken in my heart. And to a narcissist, I would say that God knows the fears. How scary it is to think that you might be exposed, how difficult it would be, and how much shame you want to fear, and that's why you're all closed up and you come to church with your arms crossed intending to be critical of what's happening, because after all, you can't let God get close to you and show you. Not only does David say that God knows us exhaustively and completely, he also says that God knows us eternally. Eternally. And by the way, you notice most crime is committed at night. It says, verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, well, surely the darkness shall come cover me, the night is going to be light about me. Everything that you do is in broad daylight to God. Not only does God know us exhaustively, God knows us eternally. Verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. You were there superintending the DNA that I would eventually have and the confluence of genes that would produce me. It was you that didn't make me as beautiful as the person next door, or it is you who gave me certain limitations. It is you who were there and you were supervising all of that. And by the way, because God doesn't learn anything, has it ever dawned on you that nothing has ever dawned on God? Because of that, throughout all of eternity, he knew you. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. The knowledge of God can either be comforting or terrifying. If you have not come under the protection of Jesus Christ and his redemption that shields us from the wrath of God, imagine someday standing in the presence of God and he knows everything about you. Every single thought, every single attitude, every single sin that's been hidden, it is all there in his presence. And standing there, of course, there'll be no way that you'll be able to tweak it to make yourself look better. There'll be no way that you will be able to somehow find an attorney who can stand in for you. But the good news is this, that when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, in effect, he becomes our attorney. He's the one who stands in for us. He is the one who shields us from the wrath to come. So if you are a believer, take heart. The fact that God knows all about you is very comforting, because what that means is he knows the strength that has to come from him to help us. He knows our limitations. He knows our misconceptions. And yet imagine this, even though he knows us so thoroughly, he continues to love us. And that, I think, is one of the greatest privileges and the greatest truths that you and I will ever be able to face. This message, when preached here at the Moody Church, received a wonderful response. And you can understand why. To some extent, we are all narcissists. And thankfully, God knows and God cares.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Becoming That Impossible Person, the third in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time on Running to Win, some final thoughts on narcissism and how to handle it. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the power of a clear conscience. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.